Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Snatched Edges podcast. I'm your host, Ebony, and today we're all going to be talking about love. No, I'm joking, guys. Pew, 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 pew. Yo, yo, yo. Welcome back to the Snatched Edges podcast. I'm your host, Ebony, where I teach you all about healthy hair, healthy scalps, how to get your edges together, how to stop hair loss, you know, all of that good stuff. Anyways, as Valentine's Day is next week, can you imagine? February is like, you know, breezing by after its sibling January was just dragging its behind. But yeah, Valentine's next week, what are you guys doing? But more importantly than Valentine's week, Black Panther comes out and I am so excited to see that. Are you guys dressing up for Black Panther? Like, what are you doing? What are we doing, rather? Is everybody showing out? Because I really feel like when I go to see it with my friends, everyone's saying, yeah, 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 come suited and booted, you know, wear your finest Ankara, wear, tie your ghillie to the sky. And I'm sure I'm going to be there. I'm going to be the only one looking like some top level dickhead. So I think I might tone it down and just go, just be easy. At least the first time I go to see it, because I'm definitely going to see it like a couple times next week at least. And then there's Pancake Day on Tuesday as well. So if you're single like me, you know, make loads of pancakes on Tuesday and just eat all of your feelings on Wednesday when, you know, just, yeah, because nothing else to do. What's Valentine's? What's love? I'm joking. So the theme for this episode, as I said, is all about love. But I'm asking, when did you fall in love with your hair? And to fall in love with your hair, did you hate it in the first place? Or were you not really fond of it? So I put a post on my Instagram and I asked the question really to all of my followers, and I got some really interesting responses. So I just wanted to share a few of those with you this episode. But before I do that, I wanted to tell you guys my hair story and how I fell in love with my hair. So for me, hair was, it was kind of a big deal. I don't ever feel like I hated my hair, but I definitely didn't like it very much. And I had lots of hair envy. So I grew up in South London, and in secondary school, like all the flyest girls had, like, you know, slicked, when I tell you, baby hairs on fleek. Like, you guys weren't doing it how we was doing it in like 2005. Like all you new age hair slickers, you are new to the game. You haven't been doing this from the beginning of time. Like, you know, I feel like peak times to be slicking your edges in London as like a Peckham girl, a South London girl, was really when you was in secondary school, like years 9 to years 11 is like when you really came into your own. And I never knew how to camo, so I remember being, I think it was like year 8 times, and there's a couple of girls who had like sick camos, and I was just like, oh, I wish I could do my hair like that, but I don't know how to like camo. And I asked my cousin who lived with me to do it for me, and she gave me like some like quarter part of the front, some straight backs, and I felt so nice. I remember going to school like, yeah, 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 I did that. And then it got messy and she left, and I was just like, shit, how am I gonna keep this up? So that's actually how, like, I think I probably learned to braid. And God bless my sister when I was growing up, because I used to play in her hair all the time, and I'm sure I sent her to school a couple of times, fucked up. But, you know, she forgives me now. She's definitely feeling the fruit of my labour. So, yeah, that was how I started. But I wanted to perm my hair for a long time as well, because I wanted it to be long. Like, not that my hair, yeah, my hair wasn't, like, really growing. I didn't really take care of it. And I thought, my mum was like, okay, when you get to secondary school, you can kind of do what you want with it. Like, it's yours. If you want to destroy it, that's up to you. But you're going to wait until you're a little bit older. So when I got my first perm, because you couldn't tell me nothing, I thought I was the pengest of the peng, the flyest of the fly. Like, my hair didn't reach not nearly the back of my neck. Like, I didn't have no hang time. But I thought I was so sick. And now when I look at my year 7 picture with me with my, like, first perm, I look like a mess. And I don't know why I was gassed, because I looked horrible. But, you know, you live and you learn. So, yeah, going through school, I just did it all. I was never really a weave girl. I think I probably had weave like 3 times in my life, and it never suited me. Like, Lil Wayne was right when he's like tougher than Nigerian hair, because my sideburns are strong, and them peeking out of my weaves, I couldn't do it. It just doesn't suit me. So I left that alone. But I was definitely one for the mad, crazy cane rows. Tonguing, you know, when you had the big puff, and you'd tongue the edges, so you had like your little fan, and you'd have your shoelaces, and I used to buy Chopper Chops, the I used to buy the Chopper Chops and lollipops, and I'd put them in your hair, or like, fucking, what are they called, them little dice, hair bands, just like loads of accessories, and I don't know why I was doing it, but it was like, it was in fashion, and so that was what I was doing. And then I found out about colour, and I destroyed my hair with colour. Oh my goodness. They should not sell box dyes. They are not safe for human consumption, because I nearly made myself bald on more than one occasion. In fact, there was a time in university where, you know the Soshi and Carson brand? And there's a picture, it's honey blonde, and there's a picture of Beyonce on the front. And I did that, and my hair snapped off, and I ended up looking like fucking Woody the Woodpecker. And I remember people cussed me out, and I just had to just firm it and be like, yeah, this is what I wanted. But a mess is what I looked like. So now I do a little bit better with my hair, but I'm so happy that, you know, social media wasn't around when I was in school, because those pictures are safely tucked away on some film that can be destroyed without, you know, anybody seeing it and bringing them back to haunt me, because that was terrible. But yeah, so I decided to go natural. It wasn't even a thing where I wanted to go natural. I actually just wanted to be bald. I had this obsession with shaving my hair. I don't know why or where it came from. I just always wanted to shave my hair. I just thought it looked so cool. I was like, one day, I'm going to shave my hair. And my Nigerian mother told me, Ebony, you better not shave down your hair. It was coming up to my graduation time, and she was just like, there's no way you are going to have your graduation pictures of you with a bald head. Like, I will not allow it. So graduation rolls around, I get my hair done, looking all fleeky, and I get home, and I'm like, cool, I don't know, I've done it now. You know, you wanted me to go to university, I've done it. And I literally got clippers out, and I shaved my head, and I went bald that day, and it was the most fun, liberating thing I've ever done. And I was just like, wow, my head shape's not that mad, but like, I can get away with it. Like, it was so cool. And everyone was like, oh my god, you're so brave. And I was like, brave isn't the word I would use. Dumb, maybe. Fast, you know, don't think about consequences, but brave, cut my hair. I never really got it, and I still don't quite get it when people say, oh, you're so brave to go natural, or I never could. Like, I don't understand what the fear is about their own hair. Like, I know it can be, quote, difficult to manage or unruly or look unkempt or not professional, but it's like, do people really, really, really feel like that? Or is it because maybe it could be like more expensive or more time consuming? I don't know. So then I took to Instagram and I asked people, why did they fall in love with their hair? And so I'm going to read out some of the comments that people gave me. And yeah, so it was really interesting, because I was like, I didn't know what people really felt about their hair. So it was nice to kind of get some feedback and see what they thought. So the first comment comes from a friend of mine, Super Smiles, and a bit of background. Okay, so she claims to be Sierra Leonean, and actually she's more like Lebanese-y, mixed-y, like, I don't know really where she's from, but it's definitely not Sierra Leone. I know she's going to kill me for saying that, but just to set up the scene. So her family is quite, like, you know, mixed ethnically in the West African region. And so her mum's got a really loose texture compared to hers. And so she said that when I came to terms of the fact that my hair is not the same as my mum's, thankfully she'd always been a great role model in making me see the beauty of my hair. And I think that's so important, especially in this day and age where we have like a lot of mixed or interracial families, where the parents might not necessarily reflect the look of the child, or like they have a different texture, or you know, like white and black, or Asian and black, or whatever mix you have. I think it's really important that the parents instill a sense of pride into the child about their hair texture, whatever it is. Because, like, even at schools, like, kids, like, from a young age, kids are conditioned to think that, you know, like, they're not pretty, or they're not beautiful because of, you know, whatever it might be, their look, their skin colour or their hair. And I think it starts at home with the parents telling them that, you know, you are beautiful, your hair is amazing, those kind of things. Just really affirming them, because when they go out into the world, they're going to have so many things against them. So they need to have that foundation of knowing that, you know, being confident in themselves. And I think that starts at home. So big up all the mums and all the dads who are out there telling their children that they are beautiful. Another comment comes from a lady named Zane, and she says, I've always loved my coils. Even when I had relaxed hair, rubbing my undergrowth was a sort of stress relief for me. I had a bit of a downside moment when I had it loose because the shrinkage was real and the shedding was heartbreaking. Now it's locked and low maintenance like I'd always wanted, so it's love all over again. When I tell you, I felt this in my spirit. Did anybody else used to rub their regrowth? Like, I didn't even think, I'd never actually thought about it before, but I used to be so fascinated when maybe like 3 or 4 weeks after I'd got my relaxer, and then you know, like there's like that little, like that little wave that would come, because my hair, like, it's not, I don't know, it's not like it's very very thick or very very tough, but I would just be like, wow, is that like my hair texture? Like, I was so it's like I forgot what my hair looked like, because I never used to take, as I said, I never used to take care of it before it was relaxed. I didn't really take care of it when it was relaxed anyway, so I never showed it like love, and it, I didn't know what I was doing. So when I would get like those little coils, I'd be like, oh my god, my hair looks like, you know, really really nice, like maybe I could do this. And but you know, when it got more than like a centimeter and it got start difficult to comb, or the front wasn't laying down how it was supposed to, then I would go and relax my hair again. So I definitely wasn't in love with it then, but I was fascinated by it for a very very long time. And we had quite a few people admitting as well that they that there's nothing more soothing than running your hands over those bumps and ridges. That afro hair is beautiful for sure. And I have to say, it is. Like, it frustrates me how we just don't understand when we see ourselves. It's just like, we can't see the magnificence of our hair. I know it sounds like proper extra, like, oh yeah, it's magnificent. But there's so many things you can do with afro. Like, it's more than versatile. And I'm like, if I want to have my hair straight today, I could. If I want to have it curly, like, shrinkage in itself is a conundrum, because I'm like, wow, my hair is a spring. But then it's frustrating when I do a twist out and my shoulder length hair goes to like eyebrow length, and I'm like, cuz, we wanted to have an afro today, what are you doing? Why are you not like playing ball with me? But again, it's so cool. But yeah, this is me just, you know, fangirling over my hair. Who do we have next? Okay, this one I really, really liked. It was a comment from a lady called Moyo, and she said, I have totally loved my hair from the get-go and I can't complain at all. It's still a discovery process, but no, love it. I would say I was very intrigued to discover my texture. On deciding to get off the creamy crack, I had decided to love my hair irrespective. So I thought I had hard hair initially. Thank God for a friend of hers who's tagged Sissy Tunes, who convinced, educated me that the initial undergrowth was scab hair. It was a trip to find that the hair I could have bet my life was hard or too coarse turned out to be extremely soft. It was indeed a revelation. Lol. I'd had relaxed hair for as long as I remembered, so that was all I knew. It's like we get on that relaxer and I think it penetrates our like scalp going into our brain and wipes out all of our memories of what our hair was like before. Because every girl I speak to says this, it's like, I cut my hair and I was just like, right, is that my texture? Is that what my hair can do? And I'm like, did you get relaxer at birth? Or like, what happened? What happened to us? Why do we not remember what our hair texture was like initially? Or like, do you feel like it changes as well? Because when I look back at pictures before, when I didn't have a relaxer when I was really young, I'm like, my hair was sick. My hair was like lovely. Like, why did I even think any different? I wore down my mum, so I can't even blame her and say, oh, she permed my hair young. Like, she definitely left it for as long as possible until I was ready to take care of it myself. But why did I never think that my hair was like as bomb as it is? So shout out to all the parents and all the girls who've been natural, and all the guys as well who've been natural from day dot and was like, yeah man, because I've been knowing that my hair was sick. Some of us had to fall by the wayside, but we've seen the light, we have returned to the right path, and we are slowly getting it back together. Ali Arembo, I hope I'm saying it right, said, frustration from hair breakage, being able to try new products and seeing more people with hair like mine helped me fall in love with my natural hair. When I moved, my relaxed hair started falling out so much it moved me to tears. No style or product worked, so I got tired and chopped it off. With a fresh start, I felt more adventurous with products and styles and found that my hair goals changed from wanting a manageable, lengthy, free-flowing hair to voluminous. I can't say that word properly. Voluminous. Oh, shit. Sorry, guys. You know what I mean. Mad volume. Massive fro. The new goals were more in sync with my hair texture and type, so I just fell more and more in love with it as the days went by. With the relaxed hair, I was not afraid of trying new things as I did. I was afraid of trying new things as I did not want something to damage my fragile hair. My natural hair is more resilient and tends to bounce back faster, so I feel more adventurous. That's another point as well. Some people, like, they cut their hair and literally they're going mad. Like, they'll go and get, like, a little short buzz cut and will, like, dye it blonde or do mad patterns, or, like, they try twist outs this week and then next week is, like, a wig, or, like, the other week is, like, I don't know, oh, I'm running out of styles, but something else. And I'm like, yes, girl, like, you beat all of your personalities doing all these different things. It's, like, creative license with your body. Sick. I'm sorry, I'm really, really excited today. I'm actually not sorry. I'm, like, you know, in the mood for love. Loving our hair. Tina Maid is a blogger from London who writes about her journey as a mother. So you should definitely follow her and visit her website. She's mad dope and she's a really good friend of mine. She says, I fell in love, like really in love, after I dropped the relaxer during pregnancy. It was the start of a discovery journey about how thick my hair was, but also how soft it was. I'm a little more precious about it than I was before. And so I then went on to ask her, like, a little follow-up question, because she's got two children, she's got a daughter, and I wanted to find out how, from, like, a mother's perspective, how does she instill that love for her hair into her child. And she says that I include her in the decisions and the processes regarding her hair. She picks styles, helps me prepare for wash days, and lastly I try to use only positive language about her hair. Guys, it's that simple. If you are a parent or you've got, like, little kids around you, don't tell them that their hair's nappy. Don't tell them that their hair's ugly, that it's too tough, that it's thick, that, you know, like, children are really, really sensitive and you have to just be careful. Like, children are sponges. They pick up. They're really, really sensitive to the words that you use around them. So if, when it comes to, like, washing or doing their hair, you're negative or you make it seem like a chore, from early they're going to think that their hair's bad, and that can, like, really, really affect their self-image. So please just be mindful of how you talk to the youngins about their hair, you know, really build them up. Like, if you know that you struggle doing your children or the younger people around you, or even your own hair, get help. Like, it's not a bad thing. Like, you would be so surprised how many people don't know how to braid or how to cameo, and I'm like, that's not something to be embarrassed about. If you don't know, learn. Or go to someone who can do it for you. Like, okay, money might be tight or you just don't have the time. YouTube is there. It is so simple. Get you a little doll's head from Amazon and practice. Like, you can't do cameos, fine. Put your hair into, like, you know, big doody plaits, or, like, use different methods to stretch it, like threading or something. Like, there's ways that you can learn to do your hair. And I think that's what a lot of the fear comes from not understanding. Because even when I had this up about how did you fall in love with your hair, I got just as many messages of people saying, I'm natural or I'm relaxed, but I still don't love my hair yet. And I was asking why. They're like, oh, the texture, it's hard to manage. I can't follow the tutorials right. And I was like, oh, it breaks my heart that people don't like something about themselves that can be remedied, I feel, quite simply by, like, finding what works for them. Because our hair isn't unmanageable, we just don't know how to manage it. Do you see the difference there? It's like, if you don't know how to do something, you have to spend time learning and, like, formulating a plan to get better at it. It's not something that can happen overnight for most people, because not everyone's a hairdresser. Not everyone's interested in spending hours in their hair or half their paycheck buying, you know, the latest deep conditioner that they're going to use up in a weekend because it's mad watery, or, like... You have to try and put a little bit of effort and really change your mindset towards it. So if you know that, okay, you know, I'm not happy with the texture, or maybe your hair's dry, maybe that's why you have problems with your texture. If you find that your styles don't work, maybe you're not using the products correctly. So instead of using maybe like a light, or you need like a heavy moisturizer to kind of set your styles a bit more, like, you have to play around with it. It does take some investment of time on your part, but it's not impossible at all. there are so many bloggers out there who are documenting their hair journeys. And there's someone, I'm guaranteeing you, someone with your hair texture, with your hair length, who's gone through the same problems as you. You just have to do a little bit of the legwork. Like, the answers are out there. And there's loads of hairdressers there that really want to help you as well. So, you know, if you're stuck with your hair or you feel like, I don't know what I'm doing, like, it really gets me down, reach out to someone who you think has got, you know, quote unquote, good hair. But I mean, like, who's able to look after their hair in a way that is manageable for them, who's got, like, a good routine, who's knowledgeable about products, who does things the right way. Ask them how they did it. Most people, like, there's so much free information. So I feel like, you know, do a little bit of work. You can find things out. But, yeah, that's what I wanted to talk to you guys today about. Just loving your hair. As, like, you know, we enter this Valentine's season. Mandem, if you haven't got your girl, or, you know, girl them if you haven't got your girl, or girl them if you haven't got your man, whichever way your relationship works, or besties if you haven't got your friend, you know, whoever you are buying gifts for this commercial holiday, buy them their favourite deep conditioner or the product that they wanted to try for ages, because we all know that these products are expensive. I'm telling you, skip the fancy meal. Skip the Nobu, the STK, the I don't know where you Instagram people be going on dates these days, because, you know, I'm like team single forever. But yeah, buy her, like, take her, listen, I'm telling you, if I had somebody who could take me to the hair shop and buy me, like, all the different colors of extensions that I wanted to get, or all the different products I wanted to try, when I tell you that I will lay down my life for you, because that shit adds up. So I'm telling you, forget going, like, you know, Central London, Roses, Hotel. Take it to your local hair shop and be like, babes, ball out, whatever you want. Closures, I got you. Eco Styler gel, buy the big one. Deep conditioners, whatever one you want. Pick three. I'm telling you, way to a woman's heart. Buy her hair products, because you don't know how much she spends to look that good. But yeah. That is me, finished ranting and talking to you guys today. I hope you enjoyed it. We are still going strong with the Healthy Hair Challenge. If you haven't signed up, why? What's wrong with you? Do you not want healthy hair? Is your hair banging already that you just don't need my help? I hope so. But if you do need it, hit me up. The link is in the description box. And I will be back next week to continue to teach you how to not snatch your edges. All right, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.